الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لإمام بن أوف رضي الله عنه كفاك الله أمر دنياك فأما آخرتك فأنا لها ضامن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قد رأيت عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه يدخل الجنة حبوا فبلغ ذلك عبد الرحمن فقال إن استطع لأدخلنها قائما فجعل الإير التي قدم بها وارتدت لها المدينة وكانت 700 بئير في سبيل الله بأقتابها وأحمالها عن الزبير بن بكار قال كان عبد الرحمن بن عوف أمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على نسائه Respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by first thanking you, my brothers and sisters, for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accepts this sacrifice of yours in listening to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah gives you the tawfiq to convey this message to those of our brothers to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the tawfiq, the ability to participate in this blessing gathering today. And the most important thing is, whether we are able to convey this message to others or not, the most important thing is that whatever we learn today, we try our most best to bring the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our daily lives. As I pray to the Almighty Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to say what is haq, what is right. And Allah first give me the tawfiq, the ability to act upon the message that I convey to others. My brothers and sisters, continuing the series on the Ashri Mubashara, the 10 companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who received glad tidings of paradise from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one gathering. Today is the turn of the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Today I have chosen to speak on this blessed companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu? And what status does Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu hold in Islam? Two incidents, just two hadith, and you will come to know who Abdurrahman ibn Auf was, what status he held in Islam, how much he was loved by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the first of these narrations narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and recorded by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. He relates كَأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْطَ رَحْتًا مِنْهُمْ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ أَوْفٍ وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ مَعَهُ. That on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed some wealth, some money to a group of people. Now Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was part of that group, who was sitting with them, he didn't receive anything from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَخَرَجَ Abdurrahman يَبْكِي. And because of this, he was very saddened. And he left the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with tears flowing from his eyes. فَلَقِهُ Umar ibn al-Khattab. On the way, he was met by Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And when Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw the tears flowing from the eyes of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, "Ya Abdurrahman, ma yubki? Abdurrahman, what makes you cry?" Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained, "Ya Umar, a'ta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rahtan wa ana ma'ahum. وَتَرَكَنِي فَلَمْ يُؤْتِينِي شِيَعَ." Umar, I was in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a group of people. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed some money to a group of people. I was part of that group. Yet he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to everyone except me. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give me anything. And I fear, maybe Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry with me. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is displeased with me. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَخْبَرَهُ بِخَبْرِ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَمَا قَالْ. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and related the situation of Abdurrahman ibn Auf and what Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Umar, "Ya Umar, laysa bi sakhtun alayhi." O Umar, I did not give to Abdurrahman because of this reason that I am displeased with him or I am angry with him. This is not the reason that I did not give to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. O Umar, walakinni wakkaltuhu ila imanih. He is one that I could leave to his iman while others were not in this position and were not of this nature. This is why I did not give to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The second incident is that of Fatih Makkah. Now when Makkah was conquered, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the tribe of Banu Jazima. Now the tribe of Banu Jazima lived on the outskirts of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Khalid bin Walid to invite this tribe to Islam. Khalid went there. He invites them to Islam. One thing leads to another, and before you know it, people have been killed. Now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed great sadness, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and prayed. And thrice Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Allah, I have nothing to do with what Khalid has done. Oh Allah, I have nothing to do with what Khalid has done. Oh Allah, I have nothing to do with what Khalid has done." Now the family of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu and this tribe of Banu Jazima were enemies. What happened was, okay, once Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father and the uncle of Khalid bin Walid, Fakih bin Mughira, they were going to Yemen on a business trip. They were killed on the way by the tribe of Banu Jazima. Now though this tribe had killed the father of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu met Khalid, he expressed, "Oh Khalid, it is sad. It is sad that you took revenge for something that happened in the days of ignorance. Oh Khalid, you took revenge for this after you embraced Islam, after you declared, 'La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.'" Khalid explained to Abd al-Rahman, "I killed that man that killed your father." Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Oh Khalid, indeed you killed that man that killed my father, but in reality you took revenge of your uncle Fakih bin Mughira, who was also killed by the tribe of Banu Jazima." Now as a result of this, words were exchanged, they began to argue, and Khalid said some harsh words to Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of what Khalid said to Sayyidina Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala an, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Khalid, "Oh Khalid, leave my companions, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بَيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِثْرَ أُحُدٍ ذَعْبًا مَا بَلَغْتُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ." Oh Khalid, I swear by the one in whose hands my life is in, if you were to donate as much gold as Mount Uhud, oh Khalid, even then you cannot equal them and reach their deeds and reach what they have done. How dear, my brothers, were the likes of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this to the likes of Khalid bin Walid, who himself was the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who himself was a very prominent and big personality in Islam, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Khalid, "Oh Khalid, that even if you were to donate gold as much as Mount Uhud, you cannot equal the likes of Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others." This is the position that Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu held in Islam, and this is how much he was loved by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this, Sayyidina Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very fortunate that he received this honor that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, with his blessed hands, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied a turban around his head. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains this. He says, once he was sitting in Quba, فَأَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرَاقِ فَسَأَلَهُ أَنْ إِرْصَالِ الْعَمَامَ خَلْفَهُ. A man from the inhabitants of Iraq came to him, and this man asked him with regards to leaving a tail behind when tying a turban on one's head, what we call a shamla. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, سَأُنَبِّكَ أَنْهُ بِعِلْمٍ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Ibn Umar explained that he has definite knowledge with regards to this, and he will tell him about it. And then Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained that I was part of a group of 10 that were in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fihim Abu Bakr Siddiq, wa Umar ibn al-Khattab, wa Ali, wa Uthman, wa Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, wa Ibn Jabalin, wa Ibn Mas'ud, wa Abu Mas'ud, wa Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He says, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was there, Umar was there, Sayyidina Ali was there, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani was there, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala was there, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal was there, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was there, and Sayyidina Abu Mas'ud and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu were also those that were present in this gathering with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. A man from the Ansar came. He greeted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَفْضَلُ. O Messenger of Allah, who is the best of the believers? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, كَأَحْسُنَهُمْ خُلَقًا. That the best of the believers is he who has the best character. He thereafter asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَكْيَسْ. Who is the wisest and the cleverest out of the believers? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, كَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْمَوْتِ ذِكْرًا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ لَهُ إِسْتِعْدَادًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْأَكْيَاسِ. Okay, the one that remembers death the most and makes preparations for death, these are the cleverest and the wisest of mankind. Now the man finished, and after he'd finished, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala nujma'in, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَيَا مَعْشِرَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ خِسَالُ خَمْسٍ وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن تُدْرِكُوهُنَّ. O group of muhajirin, there are five things, and I seek Allah's protection that you encounter any one of these things. لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي قَوْمٍ قَتُّ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمَ الطَّاؤُونَ وَلَأُوْجَاءَ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَضَضْ فِي أَصْلَافِهِمْ الَّذِينَ مَضَضْ. Adultery does not spread amongst a people, except with it comes plague and illnesses which were not there before. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people do not give the right measure and weight when they buy and sell, then there is drought and the leaders will oppress. وَلَمْ يَمْنَأُ زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِيَ الْقَطْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَ الْبَهَائِمْ لَمْ يُمْتَرُ. And when they do not give their zakat, they do not take out their zakat from their wealth, then they are deprived of rain, and had it not been for the animals, then it would not rain at all. When they break the covenant of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon them an enemy from other than them. And when the leaders do not rule by the book of Allah, then the troubles are between them. After this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala to prepare and get ready for an expedition to Dawmatul Jundal. Now Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in the morning and he was wearing a black turban. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the turban off his head, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied the turban around his head again, this time with his blessed hands, leaving the tail hanging behind around four fingers length. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, O Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, حَكَذَا يَبْنَ أَوْفَ فَأْتَمْ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْرَفْ وَأَحْسَنْ. O Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, this is the way to tie the turban, it is better. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give Abdul Rahman ibn Awf the flag. Praising the Almighty Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خُذْ يَبْنَ أَوْفْ. O Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, take this flag. اغزوا في سبيل الله جميعا قاتلوا من كفر بالله ولا تغلوا ولا تغدروا ولا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا فهذا أهد الله عليكم وسيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكم. Go in the path of Allah, fight with those who do not believe in Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, but make sure you do not deceive, you do not mutilate, and you do not kill a child. This is the order of Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. When Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu got to Dawmatul Jundal, he conveyed the message of Allah in such a beautiful manner that the leader of the tribe, Isbat ibn Amr, who was a Christian, he embraced Islam, and he also gave his daughter in marriage to Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Not only did Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu receive this honor, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his blessed hands tied the amama around his head, tied his turban for him, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very fortunate that out of all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een, other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the only one to lead Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer. Amr ibn Wahb al-Thaqafi relates, he relates, كَكُنَّ مَعَ الْمُغِيرَةِ ابْنِ شُعْبَةَ فَصُعِلْ هَلْ أَمَّ النَّبِيَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَحَدٌ مِنْ هَذِي أُمَّ غَيْرَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Amr ibn Wahb relates that we were with Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Mughira ibn Shu'bah was asked, O Mughira, has anyone led Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer from this ummah other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Mughira ibn Shu'bah replied, Kina'am, yes. And then he explained, Kunna ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin, that we were with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. Now some narration suggests that this incident took place in Ghazwa Tabuk when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to fight the Romans. He says, فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ السَّحَرِ ضَرَبَ أُنَكَ رَاحِلَتِي فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّ لَوْ حَاجَةٍ. He says, at dawn, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hit the neck of my mount. I understood that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in need of relieving himself. So I went with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we had gone well away from the people, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dismounted. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went further away till I could no longer see him. After relieving himself, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned and he asked, حَاجَدُكَ يَا مُغِيرَ. O Mughira, are you in need of relieving yourself? Mughira ibn Shu'bah replied in the negative, كَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not in need. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter asked, O Mughira, do you have any water with you? Mughira ibn Shu'bah replied, yes, I brought some water from my saddle. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his hands and then he washed his face. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to roll up his sleeves to wash his arms. Now Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion was wearing a shami jubba, and the sleeves of this jubba were very tight and would not roll. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his hands from beneath the jubba. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his wudu by finally making masa over his leather socks. He says, we return. And when we return, we found that the prayer had already begun. And Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leading the prayer. He had read one rakat and was reading the second. Mughira ibn Shu'bah says, I was about to tell him that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped me from doing this. And we finished the rakat that we had missed after they had finished their prayer. In one narration it is mentioned that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, a prophet does not die till he prays behind a good and pious man from his ummah. Indeed, this was a great honor for Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that are the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, other than Abu Bakr. Nobody has ever led Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer. And look how beautiful these words were for Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that a prophet does not die till he prays behind a good and pious man from his ummah. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born 10 years after the year of the elephants. And he was from amongst the companions of Rasulullah, who sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who even before embracing Islam, he did not consume or take alcohol in the days of ignorance. He considered it to be haram. His name in the days of ignorance, some narrations suggest that his name was Abdi Amr. Some narrations suggest that his name was Abdul Haris. While some say that his name was Abdul Ka'bah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the name Abdul Rahman, the servant of the most merciful. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave him the title As-Sadiq Al-Bar, the truthful one, the pious one. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anha's mother was Shifa. She also embraced Islam, and she was from the fortunate ones that also made the hijrah, that migrated. Waqidi, the historian, describes Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu as كَكَانَ رَجُلٌ طَوِيلًا حَسُنُ الْوَجْهِ أَبْيَضُ اللَّوْنِ مُشْرَبًا بِحُمْرَةٍ لَا يُغَيِّرُ لِحْيَتُهُ وَلَا رَأْسَهُ ضَخْمُ الْكَفَّيْنِ غَلِيظُ الْأَصَابِعِ أَقْنَعَ جَعْدًا لَهُ جُمَّةٌ مِنْ أَسْفَلِ أُذُنَيْهِ أَعْنَكُ ثَاقِلُ السَّنِيَّتَيْنِ أَعْرَجُ. He describes Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu as having a tall stature. حَسُنُ الْوَجْهِ, he was very handsome of face. His face was in complexion white with some redness. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not change his beard or hair, did not apply anything to them in the sense of henna, mehndi and things like this. His hands were big and his fingers were fat, and his nose had a slight curve. His hair were curlyish, reaching the lower part of his ears. He had a long neck and he had lost his front two teeth and was lame as a result of the injuries that he received in the Battle of Uhud. His skin was very sensitive, though to wear anything of silk for men in Islam is forbidden. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu permission And he allowed him to wear a silk shirt as a result of the illness that he was suffering from. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from amongst the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, the first group of people to enter the fold of Islam. And again, he embraced Islam as a result of the efforts of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He himself says, سَافَرْتُ إِلَى الْيَمَنْ قَبْلَ مَبْعَثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِسَنَةٍ. He says that a year before Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم received prophethood, I traveled to Yemen. I came and I resided with Asqalan ibn Awakir al-Himyari. He was a very old man. He says, every time I would come, I would stay with Asqalan ibn Awakir al-Himyari. And he would ask me with regards to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He would ask me with regards to the Holy Kaaba. And he would ask me with regards to the Zamzam. And at the same time, he would ask me strange questions. He would ask, كَهَلْ ظَهْرَ فِيكُمْ رَجْلٌ لَهُ نَبَأٌ هَلْ خَالَفَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي دِينِكُمْ. Has any man appeared in Makkah that has some story behind him? Out of your people, has anyone opposed you with regards to your religion? He says, I would say no to him. He says, till I went the time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood. فَوَاوَيْتُ وَكَدَّعُفَ وَثَكُلَ سَمْعَ فَنَزَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَاجْتَمَ عَلَيْهِ وَلَدُ وَوَلَدُ وَلَدِ فَأَخْبَرُهُ بِمَكَانِ. He says, this time I found that he had really become weak and he could barely hear. Again, I stayed with him. His children and his grandchildren gathered around him and they had told him that I'd come. He had a piece of cloth on his eyes and he was helped to sit up and he said to me, come close, my Qurayshi brother. I told him that I'm Abdurrahman ibn Awf from Banu Zahra. He said, it is enough. Come close, my Zuhri brother. Let me give you. أَلَا أُبَشِّرُكَ بِبَشَارَةٍ وَيَا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Let me give you glad tidings of a thing better for you than business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first month has sent from your people a prophet. Allah has chosen him and Allah has revealed a book to him and given him the reward. This man, this prophet, he prohibits idol worship and he invites to Islam. He orders for haq and himself does it. He falsifies batil, falsehood, and himself refrains from it. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I asked Asqalan, which clan is this man from? And he said to me, La min al-azdi wa la sumala, la min al-azdi wa la sumala, ولا من السرب ولا طبالة هو من بني حاشم وأنتم أخوالا. That he is not from the tribe of Azd or Sumala or Sarv. He is from the clan of Banu Hashim and you his paternals. And then he said to me, Abdul Rahman, go quickly and believe in him and convey to him these couplets of mine. And then he recited a few couplets. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala says, I memorized the couplets that he had recited. I quickly finished off what I had to do. And then I returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He says, I met Abu Bakr, who was a friend of mine and who I would associate with. And I told him of what I'd heard from Asqalan ibn Awakin al-Himyari. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala pointed out to me that this man is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him and sent him as a messenger of mankind. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu told me to go to him. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I went to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the time Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house of our mother Khatija radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I asked permission to enter. And when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me, ضحك وقال أرى وجها خليكا أرجو له خيرا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to smile and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have seen a face in which I sense khair, in which I sense good. What is behind you? He says, I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abdul Rahman, you have been entrusted with something. Somebody has sent a message. Convey this message to me. My brother Himyari is from the special believers. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, this is when I declared, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ There is no God worthy of worship. And truly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And then he recited the couplets and informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what Asqalan ibn Awakin al-Himdi said. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كي ربي مؤمن بي ولم يرني ومصدق بي وما شهدني أولئك إخواني حقا. Oh Allah, he believed in me yet he did not see me, and he declared his faith yet he did not see me. Oh Allah, they are my true brothers. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from amongst the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, the first people to embrace Islam, and he was out of the few that migrated to Habsha and migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. When he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, he had nothing. He left everything behind in Makkah al-Mukarram, just like the other companions did. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Muhajireen, those that migrated, made the Muhajireen and Ansar, the Ansar, the residents of Medina, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood between them, he made Abdurrahman ibn Auf the brother of Sa'd ibn Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Sa'd ibn Rabi al-Ansari was one of the most wealthiest men of Medina. He received his brother very well. He said to him, يا عبد الرحمن أخي أنا أكثر أهل المدينة مالا فانظر شطر مالي فخذه وتحتي امرأتان فانظر أيتهما أعجب إليك حتى أطلقها لك. He said to him, يا عبد الرحمن, I am the richest and wealthiest man in Medina. Half of my wealth is at your disposal. Do with it as you please. O عبد الرحمن, I have two wives. Look at them. Whichever pleases you, tell me, I will divorce her for you so that you can marry her after her period of waiting. Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala replied, my brother, barakallahu fi ahlika wa malika dullani ala thuq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with regards to your wealth, bless you with regards to your family, just show me where the market is. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was shown where the market was, and he began to trade, and he made a little profit. He came back with some cheese and some ghee. Not long, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is already married. He comes to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some saffron on his clothes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, what's this? Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained that he's just got married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, Ya Abdurrahman, how much dowry did you give? He replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gave gold as much as a date seed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, O Abdurrahman, awlim walaw bishatin, give walima, celebrate this wedding even if you have to slaughter a goat. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, كَيْ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَلَوْ رَفَعْتُ حَجْرًا رَجَوْتُ أَنْ أُصِيبَ تَحْتَهُ ذَهَبًا أَوْ فِدَّةً. He says, I saw myself thereafter that even if I raised a stone, I would hope to find gold or silver underneath it. And this is exactly what had happened. From having nothing when he came to Madinatul Munawwara, such became of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith recorded by Ahmad, narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that whilst as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was in her house, all of a sudden Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha heard this loud noise. As our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anha mujma'in, okay, what's this? The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anha mujma'in informed her, Ki'irun li Abdurrahman ibn Auf min al-Shami tahmilu min kulli shay, that a caravan belonging to Abdurrahman ibn Auf has just arrived from Sham, 700 camels carrying all types of food. Thus the people came out to see, and there were a lot of noise. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha then said, Okay, رأيت عبد لقد سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول رأيت عبد الرحمن بن عوف يدخل الجنة تحوا. That I heard Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that I saw عبد الرحمن بن عوف crawl into paradise. When عبد الرحمن بن عوف was informed of what our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, he said, if I'm able to do so, then I'd rather enter paradise walking. And he donated every single thing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was because of his wealth that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in a dream. And I'm sure that you are aware that the dream of a prophet is also revelation. Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, okay, one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came upon his companions, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, ya ashab Muhammadin, لَكَدْ أَرَانِيَ اللَّهُ أَلَّيْلَةَ مَنَازِلَكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَدْرَ مَنَازِلَكُمْ مِنْ مَنْزِلِي. Oh, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah showed me your positions and your homes in paradise and how far they are from my home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and said, Ki ya Ali, ala tarda an yakuna manziluka muqabala manzili fil jannah. O Ali, will it not please you that your house be opposite mine in paradise? He replied, Ki, yes, O Messenger of Allah, bi abi wa ummi, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Ali, O Ali, your house is opposite mine. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, كَإِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُ رَجُلًا بِإِسْمِهِ وَإِسْمِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ إِذَا أَتَى بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا وَلَا غُرْفَةٌ مِنْ غُرْفِهَا إِلَّا قَالَ لَهُ مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا, that I know a man by his name and the name of his mother and father, that when he comes to paradise, all the doors of paradise will be open for him and the wardens will call out, مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا, welcome, welcome. Sayyidina Salman said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, this man indeed will not be disappointed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that this man is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ki Umar, I saw in paradise a palace mir'ar of a white pearl. It was beautiful and the beauty of this palace impressed me. I asked Ridwan, Ki ya Ridwan liman hadha al-qasr, who is this palace for? And Ridwan said, yeah, this palace is for a young man from the Quraysh. فَظَنَنْتُهُ لِي, I thought he was referring that it was for me. I went to enter. And when I tried to enter, I was told, كَيَا مُحَمَّدْ هَذَا لِأُمَرْ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ, this palace is for Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, O Umar, فَلَوْلَا غَيْرَتُكَ لَدَخَلْتُهُ, O Umar, had it not been for your ghairat, then I would have entered. Tears began to flow from Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's eyes. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu remarked, Ke, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would I have been sensitive with regards to yourself? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, Ke, Ya Uthman, inna likulli nabiyin rafiqan fil jannah, wa anta rafiqi fil jannah, that every prophet has a friend and companion in paradise, and you will be my friend and companion in paradise. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Sayyidina Zubair and Talha and said, every prophet has a disciple, you will be my disciples in paradise. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Abdurrahman ibn Auf and said, O Abdurrahman, you were delayed. You were delayed so much that I began to fear for you. And then when you finally came, you came in such a condition that you were full of sweat. And I asked you the reason for your delay. And O Abdurrahman, you explained that it was as a result of your wealth, and that you were giving hisab of your wealth. You were held account with regards to your wealth. You were asked with regards to where you had earned this wealth from and where you had spent it. Tears began to flow from Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu's eyes, and Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave a big donation in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu had so much wealth that Talha ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf replaced, كان أهل المدينة أيالا على Abdurrahman ibn Auf ثلث يقرضهم ماله وثلث يقضي دينهم بماله وثلث يصلهم, that the whole of Medina were dependent on Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A third of them, he would loan money to them. And a third of them, he himself would pay off their loans. And a third of them, he would just give them money just like this. The following narration that I narrate to you will give you an idea of what Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu possessed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, okay, when Abdurrahman ibn Auf fell ill, fearing that he will not recover and he will die from this illness, he made wasiyah in a third of his wealth. He instructed where it should go. However, he later recovered. And when he recovered, he gave out this wealth with his own hands. He said, O companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those that participated in Badr can have 400 dinars each. That one day he gave 150,000 dinar. And then at night he wrote on a piece of paper, ordering for all his wealth to be distributed between the Muhajirin and Ansar. حتى كتب أن قميزه الذي على بدني لفلان وأمامته لفلان ولم يترك شيء من ماله إلا كتبه للفقراء. All his wealth he wrote to be distributed between the Muhajirin and Ansar, to the extent that he wrote down that the shirt on his body should be given to so and so, and the amama and the turban on his head should be given to so and so. He did not leave anything. He had written it all for the poor. In the morning, he prays behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Jibreel Amin descends from the heaven and says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ke O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, convey my salams to Abdurrahman ibn Auf and take the paper from him and then give it back to him and say, Allah has accepted his sadaqah and he is the deputy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let him spend as he did before and there will be no hisab. I guess all these blessings were as a result of the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala relates that on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha's house, and the grandsons of Rasulullah, Hassan and Hussein, were crying due to anger. Due to hunger, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kaman yasiluna bi shayin," who will bring something? Abdurrahman ibn Auf came with a plate of hais, which is a food made out of dates and ghee. He came with a plate of hais and some bread and some curry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your worldly affairs. Wa amma akhiratuk fa ana laha dhamin. And with regards to your affairs in the hereafter, I will take care of them and I will give you guarantee." In the hadith of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, "Barakallahu fi malik wa khaffif alayka hisabaka yawm al-qiyamah." Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your wealth, and Allah lessen your hisab, your accountability on the day of judgment. Such were the blessings and results of this dua that when Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu died, Muhammad relates that he left behind bricks of gold which had to be broken using axes, leaving blisters on the hands of the people that broke these bricks. Bricks of gold he left behind. And each one of his four wives inherited 80,000. One day he donated half of his wealth, 4,000 dinars in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he donated 1,000 dinars. Then he gave 500 horses in the part of Allah. And then he gave 1,500 camels. And Ja'far ibn Burqan relates that he freed a total of 30,000 slaves. This wealth was all as a result of this dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was because of his generosity that two verses of the Quran were revealed for him. The first verse of the Quran is in Surah Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Alladhina yunfikuna amwalahum fi sabilillahi thumma la yutbi'una ma anfaqu mannun wala adha lahum ajruhum 'inda rabbihim wala khawfun 'alayhim wala hum yahzanun." Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, then do not supplement their spending with boasting about favor nor with teasing. La khawfun 'alayhim, they have their rewards with their Lord, and there is no fear for them, and nor shall they grieve. Sahib relates that this verse was revealed because of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As for Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came with 4,000 dirhams and he gave them to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had 8,000 dirhams. I have kept 4,000 for my family and I give 4,000 for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again prayed for him, "Barakallahu feema amsak wa feema aqid wa nazalit al-ayah." Can Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah bless you in that which you have given, and Allah bless you in which that you have kept for your family." Then the verse of the Quran was revealed, "Alladhina yunfiquna amwalahum fi sabilillah thumma la yutbi'una ma anfaqu mannun wala adha lahum ajruhum 'inda rabbihim wala khawfun 'alayhim wala hum yahzanun." As for the second verse that was revealed, it was the first few words of this verse, كَأَلَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Give those who do defame such of the believers who give charity in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause voluntarily. When Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu made a large donation, the hypocrites to put him off mentioned that Abdurrahman ibn Auf does all this just to show people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Quran, كَأَلَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّئِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Give those who defame such of the believers who give charity in Allah's cause voluntary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off the verse by saying that these people will be punished in the hereafter. Now, excessive wealth is something that encourages pride and arrogance, but not Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In spite of what he possessed, this was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Sayyid ibn Ibrahim, who relates from his father, كَأَنَّ Abdurrahman ibn Auf أُتِيَ بِطَعَامٍ. On one occasion, food was presented to Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the time, he was fasting. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, كَكُتِلَ مُصَبِ ibn Umair وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي. That Musab ibn Umair died, and he was better than me. His shroud was one piece of cloth. If his head was covered, then his feet would be exposed. And if his feet were covered, then his head would be exposed. Then he said, Hamza was martyred, and Hamza was also better than me. And his kafan and shroud was nothing but one piece of cloth. And then the world was spread before us. And we were given what we were given. I fear that we have been given the reward of our good deeds in this world. And then tears began to flow from his eyes. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not eat anything. Hadhrami relates that on one occasion, a man with a very soft voice recited the Quran before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result of his recitation, everyone began to cry. Tears began to flow from their eyes, except for Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, if tears are not flowing from the eyes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then indeed they are tears are flowing from his heart. He was a very down-to-earth and a very simple man. When he would sit amongst his slaves, such was his condition that he could not be recognized. Once, there was some difference between Sayyidina Talha and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala an. When Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell ill, in spite of their differences, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to visit Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala an. Talha is informed that Abdul Rahman is at the door. He instructs to let him in. And at the same time he is shocked that Abdul Rahman has come in spite of their differences. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters, Sayyidina Talha radiallahu anhu says, Wallahi ya akhi, anta khayrun minni. Oh my brother, I swear by the Almighty Allah, you are better than me. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Oh Talha, don't say things like this. Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, indeed you are better than me, as had you been ill, I would have not visited you. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also fortunate that he was the one who took care of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was something that always played at the back of the mind of Rasulullah, and this was something that concerned and worried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that who will take care of his wives. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would say to his wives, كَإِنَّ الَّذِي يُحَافِظُ عَلَيْكُنَّ بَعْدِي لَهُ الصَّادِقُ الْبَارِ, that the one who takes care of you after my death, he is the truthful one and the pious one. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu sold one of his orchards for 400,000 and he gave the money to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, to our mothers. And when Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave permission to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers, to go for Hajj, Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu were the ones chosen to look after the Azwaj al-Mutahharat throughout. Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu would stay in front and not let anyone come near them, while Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu would stay behind and not let anyone come from behind. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu participated in the Battle of Uhud, and he received many an injury, and he was from amongst the few that stayed with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the angels of Allah fought alongside him. Harith ibn Samma relates that on the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me whether I had seen Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I saw him at the side of the mountain. A group of mushrikeen were approaching him. I was going to make my way to him, but O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I saw you, I turned to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, Ya Harith, innal malaika tuqatil ma'ahu, do not worry. The angels of Allah are fighting with him. He says, I went back to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and I saw 7 men dead before him. I asked in utter amazement, O Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, did you kill all these people? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu pointed to one of them and said, Artata ibn Shirabil killed him. As for these two, I killed them. Wa amma ha'ulai faqatalahum man lam arahu. And those 5 that you see, those killed them who I could not see. He was referring to the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh, indeed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken the truth. Now in the days of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu enjoyed a very high status, as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would respect him and give him his due, as he knew of his status in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why when Abu Bakr fell ill, he called Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and he consulted him with regards to who should become the next leader. He asked, Ya Abdul Rahman, akhbirni Umar. Oh Abdul Rahman, tell me about Umar. Tell me what you think about Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, Kama sayasalni an amri illa wa anta a'lam bihi minni. He replied, Oh Abu Bakr, you know him better than me. Again Abdul Rahman asked, even though Abdul Rahman, please tell me. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala replied, Huwa wallahi afdal min ra'yika fi. He replied, by Allah, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is far greater than the opinion that you have of him. In the days of Umar, it was no different. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would consult Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu and ask him for his opinion in many matters. And many a time Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu acted upon the advice of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very clever and a very wise man. He was from amongst those that would give fatwa in the days and at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there was the plague of Amwas, and there was a difference amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een. Some suggested that Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu should stay, while some suggested that he should not enter the affected areas and he should return to Madinatul Munawwara with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een. It was Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu who resolved the problem by relating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if there is a plague in some land, then one should not enter. And if one is already in that land, then one should not leave. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was happy, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu acted upon his advice. Umar also acted upon his advice with regards to how many lashes one should receive when one takes intoxicants. When the Muslims were going to fight the Persians, the general public requested that the Amir al-Mu'mineen should himself take care of the Muslim army and go to Iraq. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu started making preparations. It was only Abdul Rahman ibn Awf who opposed this, explaining, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, victory is not guaranteed. We could win, we could lose, and you could so easily be killed. And if this happens, this will be the end of Islam." When he mentioned this, the big Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in understood what Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was referring to and getting up. Thus Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed behind and sent Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu and made him the Amir. Now when the Persians were conquered, again there was a problem as to how the fire worshippers should be dealt with. Again it was Abdul Rahman ibn Awf who solved the problem, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam classed the fire worshippers as dhimmis. And it was Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, okay, when Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was wounded in prayer, which later led to his death, he was the one that finished off the prayer. And it was Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu who played the most active part in choosing the third khalif. When Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, okay, who is the next leader? Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave the name of six companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, okay, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings to these people of paradise, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world in such a condition that he was happy and pleased with all six. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Talha, Sayyidina Zubair, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Now he also instructed that they should choose one from amongst them, and this should be done within 3 days. And according to a narration, it is mentioned that he said, okay, if there is a difference, then the one Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu chooses, he is the one that they should pledge allegiance with. Now 2 days pass and they have not come up with a solution, and a final decision has not been reached. On the third day, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to reduce the names from 6 to 3. And at the same time he expressed that he does not want to become the Muslim leader. He then spoke to each one individually and privately, asking for their opinion. He said to Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Ya Uthman, in lam ubayi' faman tushiru alayya." Ya Uthman, if you are not chosen, then who do you think should become the Muslim leader? Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Sayyidina Ali, when he asked Ali, "Ya Ali, if you are not chosen, then who do you think should become the next Muslim leader?" He expressed Sayyidina Uthman. He asked Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "If you are not chosen, then who should become the Muslim leader?" He pointed out, "Ya Uthman wa Ali, am I happy with any one of the two?" He called Sa'd and asked for his opinion, expressing that you and I, O Sa'd, we do not want this. Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Ya Sayyidina Uthman Ghani," when Talha was consulted, he also pointed out Uthman Ghani. This is just one narration. It is mentioned that he also consulted other Sahaba on seeing inclination towards Uthman. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was chosen. This was indeed a great thing that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. Surprising thing is that Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was nominated to be one of the six by Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But he himself withdrew his own name. And indeed, this is a very big thing, something that not many people can do. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu finally died while Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader of the Muslims. His son Ibrahim relates what happened to him in the last days. He says, okay, on one occasion, his father fainted. Now people thought that he has died in that condition, to the extent that those that were around him, they stood up and they covered him with a cloth. After a while he came around, and the first thing that he said was, Allahu Akbar, ki Allah is the greatest. All those in the house also shouted, Allahu Akbar, ki Allah is the greatest. And then he asked them, ki did I just faint? They said, yes. He said, you spoke on the truth. Whilst I was unconscious, two men came and took me. They were very rough and hard. They said to me that we have come and we are taking you to the Almighty. He says, on the way they met another man. And this third man asked them, where are you taking this man? They told him, we are taking him to the Almighty for accountability. The man told them, he returned. This man, referring to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, is from amongst those for whom forgiveness and good fortune has been written whilst they were in the stomachs of their mothers. Abu Umar relates, at the time of death, he began to weep bitterly. When asked as to why he was crying, again, he made a mention of Mus'ab ibn Umair and Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not having shrouds to fully cover their bodies. And he feared that he has been given the reward of his good in this life, and that he will be left behind from his companions due to his excessive wealth. When he was in his last throes, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha sent a message giving him permission to be buried in her room next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu declined the offer, saying, كِمَا كُنْتُ مَضَيِّكًا عَلَيْكَ بَيْتَكَ, I do not want to make your house tight upon you. And at the same time he said, I promise Ibn Maz'un that whoever from amongst us is the second to die, he should be buried next to his companion. In a weak narration it is mentioned that on one occasion Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell ill. He called Humran and told him to write the leadership for Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu after his death. Now Humran did this, and then he went to give glad tidings to Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you will become the Muslim leader after Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman Ghani himself told me to write this. Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood between the grave of Rasulullah and member, and he made dua, ki Allahumma in kana min tawliyati Uthman iyaya hadha al-amr fa amidni qablahu, ki wallah, if Uthman has done this, then give me death before Uthman. It is narrated that he did not live for more than 6 months after this. Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu died in the 31st year of a year after Hijrah, some say in the 32nd year. He was 75 years of age at the time, while some historians write that he was 73 years of age at the time. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the one who led his janazah, and Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was buried in Jannat al-Baqi in the graveyard of Madinat al-Munawwara. He had 36 children, 28 which were boys and 8 of which were girls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.